Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn, listener-supported, non-commercial radio, featuring local and independent artists.
Winner of the Spirit of College Radio Award, this is WHFR Dearborn, listener-supported, non-commercial radio, featuring local and independent artists.
Impact every fourth Tuesday, 12 noon. Learn about people and organizations making a difference in your metro community. Get information on newly formed organizations seeking a change. Get updates from current organizations and people who are working to reach the need and concerns as well as serve. Join me every fourth Tuesday at 12 noon on Impact. Hello, this is Betty Daniels from 4th Tuesday Impact. April 21st was the date the people celebrated Easter, which marked the height of the Holy Week and the end of a 40-day Lent period. Easter is observed in the Christian world on different dates. This date shifts every year within the Gregorian calendar. According to the Encyclopedia Britannica, the Eastern Orthodox typically celebrate Easter Sunday later than Protestants and Roman Catholics. That's because Eastern Orthodox churches didn't adopt the Gregorian calendar method and instead followed the Julian calendar, a solar calendar adopted by Julius Caesar in 45 BC, which is 13 days ahead of the Gregorian calendar. So, for the Eastern Orthodox, April 28th will be the date that they will celebrate Easter. Easter traditions throughout the world also differ from country to country, according to their ethnic and cultural origins. Working effectively across cultures or interacting with people across cultures requires an awareness of these differences and many others, and varied by varying degrees of importance on their holiday as well as interacting with the people in general. I want to share with you some of the holiday distinctions that I found with from communicate.com. The Easter in Russia, due to the coexistence of Western Christian and Eastern Orthodox Christians, Easter is celebrated according to both traditions. One unique tradition that both denominations in Russia share is the picking of the pussy willow. In this custom, your neighbor or loved one pieces the branches of soft blossoms are kept on their shoulder. Other traditions in Russia at Easter include the coloring of eggs in bright, vibrant yellows and Easter egg rolling contests. In Easter in Australia, this is a land with belonging to different cultures. Easter is celebrated in a variety of ways like Perth International Arts Festival, Film Days, Sydney Royal Easter Show. The main Easter symbol in Australia is the billy, a small rodent or long nose ears just like a rabbit. In Australia, because the billy is an endangered species, the manufacturers share some of their profits to help protect the billies or the animals from extinction. The Easter billy, eggs, and chocolates form a part of the custom of the Easter egg or the Easter hunt, where children hunt around their homes and gardens on Easter Sunday for the hidden chocolates, similar to what we do in the United States. In Norway, the Easter holiday is longer than in many European countries. Beginning on Wednesday afternoon before Maundy Thursday, then Easter in Norway lasts until the Tuesday morning. In Norway, you will find that although Easter is a religious holiday, many do not celebrate it as such. Lots of people retreat to their cabins or go skiing instead. One unique Easter tradition in Norway is reading crime novels or watching detective shows. In Mexico, the Easter holiday is a combination of the Semana Santa, the Holy Week, Domingo de Ramos, the Palm Sunday, until and ends on with the Pascuala on Easter Sunday, and is celebrated. Also, they have a Pascua, which celebrates the Resurrection Sunday following the Easter Sunday. Easter traditions around the world can vary dramatically and be celebrated either with a deep religious meaning or just a family feast providing time to relax. Interacting effectively across cultures requires awareness of how people celebrate not only the holidays, but other parts of their tradition and their cultures. Respecting these differences and showing an understanding will help you to avoid misunderstanding and frustrations as we continue to grow and operate within a world culture and build more effective long-term relationships. And now, keeping that in mind, here is Impact Fourth Tuesday. The previous summary was a paraphrase of information received from the Global Communications under communicate.com under Global Workings, celebrating Easter across cultures, Easter traditions around the world.
This show is a WHFR talk show presentation. The opinions expressed by WHFR staff and our guests are not necessarily those of anyone here at Henry Ford Community College, not faculty, staff, administrators, anyone on our board of trustees, or students.
This is Betty Daniels. Welcome to Impact. I'm going to start the program off by giving you, or rather sharing with you, a discussion I was having with Sandy North, the person who inspired this next series of interviews I'm going to be having with Impact, about the collaboration of nonprofits with each other. We're going to lead off with Sandy describing, giving you an introduction of the organization that's going to be focused for this day's Impact. And then we will go into the interview with the Detroit Interfaith Outreach Network Organization. And now here's Sandy.
That my life changed the first time I went to present at mm-hmm. the Detroit Interfaith Outreach Network. And when you talk to interfaith groups, they all express the same thing, that when they started, they came from their own perspective and they saw the differences between each one, and they spent sometimes years talking about why this religion was different from that. And gradually they moved to see how the commonality of all of them. Right. I think this is the greatest movement that's taking place in our country, okay. are the interfaith groups, and that if they can collaborate and support each other and come together to strengthen everybody, certainly the rest of the world can do it.
Right.
And I want to talk a minute about the Dearborn area one, since
right.
we're in
yes.
Dearborn.
Yes.
A powerful group, and a year ago, not this past Martin Luther King Day,
what?
But a year ago, they asked if we would come to that event with our quilts.
All right.
And the importance of this was that it was sponsored by the Dearborn area Interfaith Network, but it was hosted by the House of Wisdom Temple, the Islamic Temple.
All right.
So we had never exhibited in a Islamic temple before, and I have to tell you, it was one of the best events I've ever gone to in my life. There were people there from every religion.
Mm-hmm.
Every politician, practically from the whole state, was there. Both police chiefs from Dearborn and Dearborn Heights were there. Every one of those important people got up to say a quote from Martin Luther King.
All right.
The Henry Ford Choir was there to sing. They pulled everybody together, and it was one of the things that examples of collaboration,
all
regardless
right.
of where you come from,
yes.
regardless of your religion,
yes.
That we've ever been. And then we were the only persons exhibiting, and our quilts were up, and during the meal that they served afterwards, we were able to present the project. But when you see the strength of pulling people together and what you can do, and this was just one event that
all
they
right.
do.
And in the studio with me, I have Doris Edut. All right. And she is from DION is the abbreviation, but is Detroit Interfaith Outreach Network. Okay. One for Betty. All right. And would you tell us a little bit about your organization? We're going to make this kind of casual, not too formal or anything like that.
Well, it's an organization that was formed when we didn't really want to form an organization, because you have plenty in Detroit. But about 6 years ago, a group of interfaith leaders and I got together at the downtown synagogue and said, what we need to really do is support each other,
yes.
and come together as a networking organization and hear what everybody else is doing and then bring the resources of our different organizations together to support these efforts.
Okay, and if I remember correctly in your history, it was the 9/11 event that triggered that, or was it something else?
No, it was actually a course I did in a program called the Landmark Education Landmark Forum.
Mm-hmm.
And I discerned there that really Detroit was going through a wonderful transformational stage, and I wanted to be part of it.
Okay. And now, when you say transformation, what type of transformation were you looking with?
I grew up in Detroit, okay. And I worked there both as a teacher and as a family crisis counselor for many years, and now I've come back as a rabbi.
Okay.
And I felt that Detroit was really on the cusp of something brand new, really revitalizing, renewing the energies that I remember as a child growing up, and bringing about an entirely new form of an urban center to our world.
Okay, now what year are we talking when you say that?
This is 7 years ago. This would be in 2010.
Okay, and it's almost like within these last, since 2000 period, Detroit has gone through almost continuous changes.
Yes, it has.
And it's not only Detroit proper, but it's the suburbs around it that have changed.
Yes.
And the population is just, it's just kind of almost like it's in a washer.
I would say so. I think a lot of people for a long time have lived separately.
Yes.
Lived through the 1967 riots, rebellion, mm-hmm. whatever you want to call it. We were living in Northwest Detroit, and although the move to the suburbs had already started in the early 60s,
mm-hmm.
and so since then, I think people kind of got settled in different igloos all over the city,
right,
in the suburbs, and now finally things are it's much more permeable, the border, crossing 8 Mile, or we have an organization that we work with called Bridging 8 Mile. Really happening.
And you and I, although I'm a bit older than you are, I know. Maybe not. But anyway, you and I remember, the statement. Anything up past 8 Mile, there was that statement.
Yes.
Then back before that, then there was a statement of Detroit was divided within itself.
Yes.
All right. So it's gone through a whole lot, and we're talking ethnicity, races. And also now even the age thing is kicking in.
Yes.
And so, I remember when I was in college, what's now called Midtown was called Cass Corridor.
Oh, yes.
Okay. And, then Dearborn, at one time was very much, favored one particular race.
Yes, a terrible mayor, Orville Hubbard.
And so it's another, evolving and things like that. And it's, Detroit is almost becoming like, on the melting pot, a microcosm of what's happening to the United States proper.
I think so.
So,
yes.
But I want our listening audience to know this is a continuation of something that Sandy North and I had began to discuss.
Yes.
Okay, about how nonprofits and organizations collaborate with each other.
Yes.
And in that collaboration, you evolve, almost like Detroit, into something that is still good, but maybe not necessarily what you started out with.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And could you share with some of the kind of experiences for you?
Well, we started with just bringing different leaders together,
mm-hmm.
and hearing what other people were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also discerned areas where we felt that there wasn't enough programming and that we would create our own programs.
Okay, now when you say, what kind of programming are we talking about?
Well, a conflict resolution program, a literacy program, and bringing people together 4 times a year for prayer and potluck.
Okay.
And
did you have some resistance with that?
Not really. I would say with the conflict resolution, yes.
Okay.
We did. We went to the school board with the program. And at first they seemed very enthusiastic about it, but then they wouldn't call us back. And for 6 months we tried. All right. So I found out the way really to get our foot in the door in any of the schools was to go to the individual principals.
Okay. All right.
And that's what how we began doing things that way.
Okay. Now, was it along the lines of faith, or was it just on the lines of diversity, period?
The diversity, I would say. I mean, we were an interfaith group, but we have, of course, many different races and cultures represented in our group.
I think that that's what the new diversity is about, because it used to be you could go black, white, but now it's no longer
yes.
that. It's, you know, it's the religion, really.
Right. And when... Exactly. And I was going to say, when we started our interfaith group, and I'm a rabbi. I never even thought too much about this. I originally thought I was just going to be a pulpit rabbi. And, and when I met some of my Christian friends and they said, interfaith, oh, that's bringing Catholics and Baptists and Protestants together. I said, oh, really? So we have... Well, at our very first service, I think that was probably one of the most inspiring moments for me. We're in a Catholic church. I'm sitting on the altar, a Jewish woman rabbi,
all right.
A young boy from the Muslim faith has just chanted beautifully from the Quran,
mm-hmm.
and the entire congregation is now chanting with members of the Hare Krishna group,
okay.
singing praise to God in their language.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting there looking at this crucifix and saying, oh, my goodness, this is what God really wants us to do, to be
okay.
able to pray together, to eat together, to speak together, to be friends together. And that's what we've been really all about.
Okay. Now, so that was the collaboration all along the faith lines. Has it any of your collaboration gone where it's not necessarily about faith, but because there's that diversity, you can more or less facilitate?
Yes. Well, I would say... we, in bringing our literacy program into the schools in Detroit and the conflict resolution programs, we were looked upon, you know, okay, you are white folks from the suburbs coming in to hell. And
right.
we said, well, it's, we just happen to be white, but some of us also are Asian American.
Yes.
Some of us are Indian and, you know, Native
right.
American, and also from India, the country, mm-hmm. and whatever. And we're really about just working together with people.
Mm-hmm.
So, and quite a number of my board members are African American. So it's, we're a real mishmash, I like
right,
to call
right,
us.
Right, right.
So I guess... Yes, at first some people thought like, well, what are you doing? Are you being patronizing or what? And once they realized, no, we're here to work with you and bring things that you want to your community.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we'll design our programs accordingly.
Okay.
So that has helped. We have also, we're doing this summer, working with a farming group because...
Okay.
We have a vision that one of the things that could really help Detroit is to create smaller communities around farming or light
yes.
industry
yes. Right.
where the neighborhoods themselves have the say-so in what goes on in the schools, what is done with the farm produce, what is done with the light industry,
mm-hmm.
and people kind of invest in it from, you know, and mm-hmm. It's based on a communal settlement of that existed in Israel. My
okay.
husband grew up on one of those.
Okay.
And people there had nothing.
Okay.
So we're talking about in the 50s,
right.
60s. And now they're all really doing quite well.
Okay.
So I think that kind of thing and getting local control and people invested in their communities and bringing those who are new residents together with those who are, have already been living there.
Okay.
That's what our next challenge is.
All right. Now, there I have heard or seen.
Yes.
I think it's more seen than heard of. Different areas where you see people have this little plots. And I think there is a movement within the city where you can farm a lot or something like that.
Yes.
One of those kind of programs.
Yes.
Are you interacting with these other existing groups?
Yes, exactly. So we, this summer, are working with the Michigan Urban Farm Initiative, MUFI, it's called, on Brush Street.
Okay.
And I have encouraged them to connect, or we'll help them be the bridge to several others, like the Avalon Village and Brightmoor and Detropia.
Okay.
A few of the names of other kind of collectives that are forming all over the city already.
Mm-hmm. And so now, do you find out that sometimes maybe not only connecting the groups, but inform them of each other?
Yes, exactly. So they... some are have already gone through some of the struggles that others are facing. So why not learn from each other?
Why reinvent the problem?
Exactly. And my group can bring in the literacy, and we're now also expanding to do adult literacy.
I was getting ready. That was going to be one of my things, is that in the community colleges, they're finding out that, and especially during this downsizing of the plans and this type of thing, you have many adults who might have been a part of similar lines and things where as long as you could do the job, you were okay. So now that they're trying to make this change, they may not have only got to the eighth grade or that type of thing, and they might have been passed socially and not necessarily even reached eighth grade type of thing.
Right.
Are you finding, that's the literacy? And when you said literacy, I heard you talk about the schools, but I'm glad to hear that I was talking about adult as well. And do you see that as a major problem?
I think it is one of the major things that has not been dealt with successfully or fully in this city.
Mm-hmm.
For a parent to be able to support their child in being successful in school, you need to have some background yourself, and also for the parents' sake, because the world is a new place. The jobs that are opening up right and left. One of the things that we're also looking at, besides actual reading literacy, is math literacy.
Yes, because in the manufacturing, well, really, digital math has a lot to comes into play.
Absolutely.
And even if you're not doing the math, you have to have a mindset of the math in order to be able to process this digital world.
Yes, and that goes back to elementary, middle school math, which I think we need to.
And I'm dating myself because there was this thing called new math.
I remember.
And I'm like, look, one and one is just, but you know, with the digital world, one and one is not necessarily two.
Exactly.
With the zero and the one.
That type
of thing. So, collaboratively, what are some of the major collaborations that you have had?
Well, probably our two very best partners are Bridging 8 Mile, an organization that really helps us with doing things in the city.
What is Bridging 8 Mile?
Bridging 8 Mile is an organization that I think their base is in Ann Arbor. I know they've started now a Bridging US 23 to bring, and they're part of the Association for Youth Empowerment, and they have connections with many different groups within the city, and they have collaborated with us perhaps on the biggest thing that we do, which is a summer picnic on Belle Isle. It's called the Suburban Urban Unity Picnic.
So Dearborn being a part of a combination of suburban state.
We have Dearborn, we have Warren, we have Fraser, we have Sterling Heights, we have Roseville, we have Huntington Woods, Oak Park, Southfield. People from all those different communities, West Bloomfield, come to Belle Isle.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have our bases here in Detroit that bring okay. people. And we have over 300 people of all ages.
All right.
Many different faiths. We have a short interfaith service, and then we have a wonderful lunch. We provide the main entrees, halal chicken cooked on a separate grill, kosher hot dogs cooked on a separate grill, veggie burgers, and then, of course, regular burgers. And then everybody brings side dishes. So we okay. have a whole host of things from many different countries. Melons, of course, always go over big, all kinds of desserts, salads, and mm-hmm. side dishes. So we eat. That's okay. That goes on all afternoon.
Okay.
We have games for the adults, games for the kids, games for the teenagers. We have singing and dancing, dancing of all kinds. Lots of fun. And it goes on, and a bingo for fun, and just kinds of good things. It goes on until 5 o'clock in the afternoon. It's okay. on Central Avenue on Belle Isle, right across from the kids' playscape. So the parents can also take
okay.
the kids
all
to
right.
the playground.
It. Right. Okay. Yes. All right. Okay. So you're just past that big statue, the statue.
Right. The big okay. statue, all a big right. white tent, and you should yes. see lots
yes.
of signs.
Yes.
And this is our 6th year doing that.
Okay. And, now, in the 6 years of doing this, have you seen where the what you're bridging has been changing?
Yes. We have been able to, first of all, bring in many more people. It started with a group just of about 40 or 50 people.
Mm-hmm.
We now partner with 7 different organizations.
Okay.
I don't know if you want me to list
yeah.
them.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Common Word Alliance from okay. Hamtramck, the Interfaith Leadership Council, which is kind of a Metro Detroit group.
Mm-hmm.
Wisdom, which is a women's interfaith group.
Mm-hmm.
The Michigan Muslim Community Council, the
okay.
Islamic Organization of North America.
Okay.
The United Methodist Outreach Group. It's from their church.
Right.
Oh my goodness, who are the other ones that I'm missing somebody?
It almost sounds like your board, because I was looking at your board and
yes.
you know, it's the range. Okay.
We have a whole bunch of people. Yes.
Because I was raised, born, you know, died in a World Baptist, and I saw there was there's a Baptist on there too.
Oh yes. Oh yes. The Baptist churches have been so welcoming.
We saw Christian Scientists. We
yes.
saw the Catholic. We saw
yes.
the Presbyterian. We
yes.
saw the Muslim. We see, and I think another part of this diversity that many people who are geographically, I think that that's kind of one of the myopic visions that Americans have, is that, yes, back in the day when America was young, it was much more of a melting pot. And then now that we're getting cultures from not necessarily European, but other geographical areas,
right.
we still want to lump them.
Yes.
And everybody who comes from Africa, Middle East are not all the same.
That's right. Or Asia either.
Yes. Yes.
Definitely not.
Right. You know, yes. and, you know, and then the thing is there's Asia and Asia Minor, all
yes.
these different kinds of things. Like
yes.
we have to grow up. We have
right.
to mature.
Me too.
And that is some of what I get a sense that your organization is about.
We really try to bring people together, and really socializing is one of the best ways, because people don't get to talk to each other and get to learn about each other, get to have fun together,
mm-hmm.
Do social mm-hmm. action projects together. And there's so much to do in Detroit. When people ask me, well, doesn't the Middle East conflict come up between the Jews and the Muslims? I say, no, because we're focused on doing things for the city here, for the greater good
right.
of everybody.
Right.
And we're not only doing things within Detroit. We've also helped with things in Hamtramck.
Okay.
I was going to say Common Word Alliance is
mm-hmm.
one of our partners. We've done a couple seminars with them. There's a smaller group, but they're the ones who originated the picnic. They all call themselves the All Faiths Festival from Roseville. They also, we've done a number of things with them. And the Wisdom Women's Interfaith Group. We had a whole program on holy breads.
Which was wonderful.
So we really try very much to hear what's going on out there and bring our support and do things together wherever we can.
Okay. I noticed on your website there was a page for questions and answers.
Yes.
Okay. And the questions were ran the gamut.
Oh, yes.
All right. My question would be, who answers those questions?
Well, generally, I do, or one of my board members helps me with it.
Okay. I know you must be sent to some research factories with some of these questions.
Oh, yes. I certainly do.
Yes. Okay. Has there been any things that have evolved out of some of those questions and answers that you've gotten?
Well, first of all, my own learning has evolved greatly because I have to say that I started out with a very minimal knowledge of Christianity and Islam in particular. I've now also learned about Sikhism, Jainism, about some of the Native American cultures too. I think, yes, while we have the Interfaith Leadership Council is also a partner, and we definitely support their programs, and I'm on their board, too. And they do a lot of bringing the learning about the different faith groups and cultures to their membership and to the general public.
Okay. Do you sometimes find out that people are not necessarily relating to the faith, but relating to the socialization?
Yes. And so as a result of that, thank you for asking me that question. It didn't occur to me initially, but we are planning three different bus tours this year. We're going the week after the picnic. We're going to the African American Museum and have a docent-led program there for our membership. We'll be going to the access to the Islamic Association in the late fall, and then we're going to go to the Hispanic Community Center in the spring.
Okay.
So those are the three that we have planned for right now.
Now, we're going to give a telephone number out and repeat it a couple of times for our listeners, okay? So if people are interested in some of these things that you're talking about, how would they contact you?
Well, the best way our answering phone line is 248-556-6316.
All right. Okay.
Yes. And they can also go to the website, of course.
Right. Okay. And on the website, you'd have to look under, don't do D-I-O-N, because you'll come up with the singer. And
that's right. That's right. I know. When I originally got it, I thought, oh, my goodness, is this copyrighted? Are we going to be in
trouble? Please remember, that is the Detroit Interfaith Outreach Network.
But on the website, it's www.detroitinterfaith.org.
Okay, there we go. All right, and we're going to bring that up some more during the stage.
Okay.
All right. Now, you've been with this organization for how long now?
7 years.
7 years. Were you aware, and the organization itself is how old?
That's as old as,
You did say that. Okay.
Yes.
All right. What have been some of the major growth challenges that you've experienced during these 7 years?
Well, I think initially we were focused. We were meeting at the downtown synagogue in Detroit, where I was serving as an unofficial rabbi there. I was teaching and doing life cycles and doing outreach for them.
Okay.
But since then, we've taken it and we really just meet in different faith sites once a month.
Okay.
We found that you talked about the difference in age things. Some of our younger people have not been coming to the extent that some of them did initially, but I think that many of them are involved in other groups doing social action. So,
okay.
So ours has seemed to attract more a middle-aged crowd, shall I say?
All right.
And that's okay, too.
All right.
A lot of us are retirees that can take the time to go into the schools and do tutoring and such. We also have, I would say, when we do our interfaith services, we try to go to many different places. We have been in a Hindu temple recently and in a mosque. Mm-hmm. But generally, we try to stay Detroit-focused.
All right. Now, when you say Detroit focus, how is that different from being focused metro?
I think our events, we try to have them take place in Detroit as much as possible.
Okay. And your reason for that?
Because we are the Detroit Interfaith. And our mission statement really says that we're here to help families and children in Detroit. So,
all right, Detroit has mixed receptions from the communities around
it. Yes.
All right. Sometimes it's almost like a jealousy politically, you know, and all the different kind of things like that. So by being Detroit-based, some of the issues, though, have to do with those who are around Detroit.
You are so right. It has taken me 6 years, honestly, to get some of the faith leaders to cross 8 Mile.
Okay.
They're, for whatever reasons, and some of it vice versa, too, if we've done something in the suburbs,
right,
especially a worship service, to get people from the city to come out there. And it occurred to me as we were doing this that there are no Hindu temples in Detroit. There are no Jain temples. There are.
Right.
Why is that? Yes, the population lives more in the suburbs than they do in the city. But certainly many work in the city. Many go to Wayne State University, Henry Ford Community College, or Wayne County Community College. And why is that? Or bringing people from Dearborn. My husband likes to say that the people still live in silos in some of these communities.
Yes.
And
yes.
It has taken time for people to see that it's safe, people are welcoming, that there's a lot to do, and there's a whole learning curve that you're missing.
Okay. Yes. All right. That's silo, you know, those pockets kind of things.
Yes.
And I think that there's certain groups, because like right now with all that's going on worldwide with the Muslim community, and even the Muslim community is subdivided.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
So there's a certain challenge there.
Yes.
That's going on. And then people, is there a need, or does your organization address the fact that you trying to put in my shoes?
We are really about breaking down barriers and walls between all people within every faith and every ethnic group to see each other as people.
Mm-hmm.
And when we do our interfaith services, we always have a potluck for the hour before that.
Okay.
And the services themselves are all called Uplifting Detroit in Spirit and Song and Prayer.
All right.
And I believe that at the basis of all these conflicts, it is a spiritual conversation that's what's missing for many people. We really need to reach out to see our common humanity and our common creator, and to, as my husband also likes to say, I like to quote him, remember the Ten Commandments. If everybody would start with some of those,
we might be able to
find a path to getting along a lot better.
Okay. Your vision statement, it's a vision, I think I'm doing it correctly, is literacy, education?
Yes. Conflict resolution.
Conflict, okay, now with conflict resolution, That continues to change, doesn't it?
It does. There are all kinds of ways and methods to solving conflicts. Unfortunately, conflicts are a part of everyday living.
Yes.
We haven't reached that time when people will not have conflicts, but how you recognize that, how you sit down and resolve that rather than letting it fester. And definitely we have, unfortunately, the national conversation in the media and politically is very divisive. But that's another reason why I try very hard to stay away from politics.
Okay. Because different, particularly when we have an influx of a new immigration group, even within that flux, all right, and it depends on what part of the United States you're in.
Yes.
Okay, because you're in Florida, that's a different group altogether.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on the West Coast, that's another different group. If you're on, and it depends on whether you're Northwest or Southwest. Okay.
That's right.
Northeast or Southeast.
Yes.
All right. And they learn conflict resolutions differently.
Yes. Well, I'm not sure they learn conflict. I'm not sure.
Resolution. Okay. Well,
resolution could be separate.
I think we problem solve differently. Maybe that's a better way. Because within families, you know, I know I have a set of cousins. The best way to solve conflict is to duke it out. Mm-hmm. Whereas another family member, let's talk. Mm-hmm. And then there's a conflict between those two. Let's just get it over, you know, that kind of thing.
Right.
So within, if you can, and if that's just like that within families,
right,
we're talking about the nation, different communities.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So depending on your faith base, even if you wanted to talk it out, there's a different way of.
That's right. Yes. But listening skills are things that people can really develop across the board.
Yes.
And strategies, yes, there are different strategies for resolving conflict.
Mm-hmm.
The question that I think you want to ask yourself is, have you resolved the conflict really, or have you just postponed it?
And another question would be, is have you identified what the problem is?
That's true, too. Right, and gotten to the root of it.
Yes, yes. Okay. So, we were talking about some of the major milestones that you have experienced.
Yes.
What are some of the, I'll say resistance, I'll use that as one example of a challenge, but are there any types of certain resistances that you had to overcome, and how did you overcome those resistance to what you were trying to do?
Okay. Well, as I think I've mentioned, bringing people into the city, bringing some people together who have suspicion about, I can't go into a mosque.
Okay. Yes.
You know, or I can't go into Dearborn, they'll kill me or something like
right.
that. Or, yes, there have been some of our events were not well attended for some of those reasons. Like we did a program with cleaning up Hamtramck the first year we did it. We had a very small turnout.
All right.
That has since built, but there were people who were resistant to go there because they felt like, you know, people won't be welcoming, or my car will get broken into, or all kinds of things like
and,
that.
And, you know, Hamtramck is another microcosm
yes.
of a complete turnover
yes.
of the community.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
One time was basically Polish.
Yes.
Then it became, there was an influx of Blacks, and now there's an influx of different Muslim or
right. the Albanian and Bosnians
yes,
that come there,
right,
and then you have
right.
the Bangladeshis.
Yeah.
And,
right. And within those groups, it's just like, you know, it's almost like a North and South experience.
Very much so.
When you encounter those kinds of interactions, how do you approach them?
Well, I try very much to have the different parties, if I can, sit down with me and talk things out, or I talk one-on-one to different people and say, you know, really, it's okay. We can work together. And okay. What is it that you're most afraid of? And won't you give this a try? And, you know, sometimes it's successful and sometimes not. But it's often just getting a leader, usually the leader of a community. And it doesn't necessarily have to be the faith leader.
All right.
To come forward and participate.
Okay.
Just come to a meeting. Drink coffee. Talk a little bit about this or that.
All right.
We haven't done a Habitat for Humanity program yet where we build a house, but that's one it's on my back burner. I think that's a great way to get people to see that we really can work side by side and do something very positive.
Have we covered all of the areas of what your organization approaches and what your organization addresses?
I think so. I think the one thing that maybe we didn't emphasize enough is that the networking aspect where people come with their various programs, often present at our meetings. We meet monthly.
All right. And when is that exactly?
It's the second Monday of every month. We actually finally decided to make it on a regular basis. The second Monday of every month, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock in the evening. Mm-hmm. It's usually during the year at various faith sites.
All right.
Or community centers.
And if a person wanted, again, to be a part of that meeting or to come to network with
you? They should look on the website. We usually advertise where our next meeting is going to be.
And that website is?
The website is www.detroitinterfaith.org.
Okay.
Or they could send me an email and get on our overall email list.
All right.
And the email that they would need to send it to is Mutsim.
You can spell that out.
Okay. It means the found ones.
All right. Okay.
Okay. It's M like Mary, mm-hmm. U, T like Tom, Z like zebra, I like ice cream, M like Mary, at AOL.com.
Okay. And you're going to do it one more time.
Okay. M like Mary, U like under, T like Tom, Z like zebra, I like ice cream, M like Mary, at AOL.com.
And that's so that they will be able to participate and find out information about the networking meetings.
Right. Okay. And they can get on the email list, and then they'll get usually a weekly, sometimes more than twice a week, announcements. And certainly about the meetings and events that we have.
Okay. Now, you told me about two events coming up.
We are participating in the Neighborhoods Day Project.
All right.
I'm sorry. We are participating with Detroit Unity in a school supplies drive.
All right.
So we're gathering school supplies for the kids in the Northwest Detroit area, public schools there.
One of the questions I have, and I don't want to blindside you because you're the first person I've asked on the air. So,
yes. All
right, listen, audience, she didn't know about this question. I hear a lot of organizations doing the beginning of the school year. Okay. Has any organization looked at what about midway when some of those initial supplies are no longer there?
Right. Well, my organization usually does a clothing drive.
Okay. There we go.
Yes,
all right.
Often to help with the because usually the parents have uniforms for the kids at the beginning of the year, but mm-hmm. by December, November, they've outgrown them. They've worn out. They've lost. So we do then, and we also try to do winter clothes, coats, and we join with others rather than doing our own on that.
And now we're getting back to what we talk about, the network and the collaboration.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Exactly. And what organizations within that arena are you working with?
Well, we've worked with the Women's Auxiliary of the Jewish Community Relations Council,
right.
And Tappers,
mm-hmm.
which is another, it's a jewelry store, but they always collect coats for kids.
All right.
We have done some work with well, we've made donations on our own to the Detroit Rescue Mission Ministries.
All right.
And various churches that have sponsored drives to help the homeless, to
all
help
right.
Coats for, and clothing, warm clothing, for not only for children but also for people on the street.
Right. And I think that what we're experiencing is that is the population period.
Yes.
You know, because we have, with all these different conflicts, Desert Storm, all these other different conflicts, the world conflicts, and people are now coming, well, their idea was to come to America, and they may not be able to get in as much as they once could.
Right,
all right.
Right. The immigration issue is a
right.
big one.
Do you, does this kind of always have you kind of rethinking what your projects are going to be, and how do you make those adjustments?
Yes, there's always more to be done. And we have to at times say, okay, where are we going to focus on this or that? Certainly with the immigrants coming in, we've tried to do what we can support them. Zaman International.
Yes.
And I'm trying to remember the other group that's from the Lutheran Social Services.
All right.
We've been in touch with them, but... I still, like I said, I want to stay Detroit focused as much as possible,
and I
publicize
okay,
what the others
yeah,
do.
Right, right.
Yes.
But I think that if you are a master of one thing,
yes,
then that way, and when you're networking with another organization,
yes,
you are bringing what you know best. And then yes. then they can do what they know best.
That's right. And publicity is key often, because even though we have members of many different faith groups, you know, they're also concerned about these issues, and I'm not hesitant to share things that are going on that for the sake of the welfare of other people.
All
that
right.
definitely we are doing, and for the environment, we're actually on this week I sent out a email regarding an interfaith support of the environment and,
mm-hmm.
and what's happening with one of our partnering organizations is doing a big program.
I got two questions. One is about advocacy. Do you ever get into where you are in a advocacy role, and if so, how do you get into those things?
Advocacy, as far as saying we support the efforts here,
right?
We open it up without saying that we, especially if it's a political issue, we try not to take a stand on it, but we let people know things that are going on in the community that they can participate in or sign a petition for,
okay.
or something like
All
that.
Right. One of your focuses of under education is more. I saw this landscape of interfaith. I think it's like you had a quarterly.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I can't quote it myself, but I know what you're saying.
Okay. Yeah. Is that because I'm thinking it quite often, because Remember Me Quilt
is yes.
another organization that's not political.
Right. And they started with us, actually.
Okay.
And Sandy didn't tell you.
She said, now Sandy, when she would give the history and overview, she would say that there was she started originally from another, that they were a spinoff from another group.
Yes.
Okay, so you're the group.
No, we're not the group, but she came to my Dion group to present, and
okay.
we gave her one of the initial pushes to get
okay.
out there, and we connected her to a lot of other groups.
Okay, see, this is how the collaboration, the network works.
That's right. That's exactly it, and she's one of our main partners who always says, I'm thankful for Dion because I got my initial push from Dion networking.
Right, right. And
yes.
I think is that with that networking, that continues to sometimes, because, you know, the hardest thing to do is start from a standstill.
Yes.
And so if you're with an organization that's already in motion.
Exactly.
That helps you to overcome your initial.
Exactly.
And that, if anything, we get out of this is that is the important part.
You have to keep moving.
Right.
Forward.
Or get moving to begin yes. with. Okay. And once you get moving, mm-hmm. to continue to move.
Yes.
And so I think that if as part of this, as we continue to do these different, I've got two or three more lined up, dealing with different organizations that are collaborating with each other.
Absolutely.
That is networking is a key component of that.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And that they may not, even though the project may not be the same, the challenges.
Yes. Well, one of the newer things that has also become evident to us from working in the schools is the lack of mental health services.
Yes.
And so we are collaborating with a group that I also sit on their board, the Interfaith Health and Hope Coalition.
All right.
And they have both connections with physical and mental health services.
All right.
And we're hoping to bring one of our I don't want to say the name because I don't want to, but it's a community mental health organization that already provides some services for some schools to expand that into some of the other Detroit public schools.
And because of this continued evolution, you know, changes of funding, changes of populations,
yes.
okay, mental health and approaches to it continues to change. Because for a long time, the black community would not seek mental health.
Right.
Then when they finally got to seek it, then the funding changed.
Yes.
Okay. Then you get a new group where the mental health challenges are distinct.
Yes.
Not the common denominator, they're struggling, they're suffering, and depression, but the triggers too, or how they problem solve.
Right.
Okay.
Yes. Or dealing with the gang issue. Why are these kids being attracted to gangs?
Well,
that's a very big question. And
you know. Okay. This is my little hypothesis. When these different support things that were for the schools, remember the schools used to be a very key part.
Yes.
All right. And then they were fed into so a lot of things that were there that used mm-hmm. to be in the community
right.
are not there anymore.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And then is how do you reposition the support that's needed and necessary.
Exactly.
Okay. Because gangs, I remember when I was just growing up and I had just moved to the Northwest area, there were gangs and then they were gone. You know, the circle continues to go around and around and around.
Yes.
I want to thank you for coming to and sharing with us about your organization.
Thank you very much.
And again, give your name and your contact information to our audience.
Okay. I'm Rabbi Dorit Edut. And my contact information, you can reach us on the website at www.detroitinterfaith.org. You can call us at 248-556-6316 and get on our email list by emailing me at mutzim@aol.com.
Okay. Again, this is Betty Daniels for Impact. Thank you for listening, and make sure you tune in next fourth Tuesday, also on the fifth Tuesday as well, for Impact. Thank you, and good night.
Henry Ford College in Dearborn, Michigan is a comprehensive public college serving about 18,000 students each year in southeast Michigan. HFC is dedicated to preparing students for the rapidly changing workplace in today's world by offering more than 100 associate degree and university transfer programs. HFC also specializes in customized workforce development training for business and industry. Since its founding in 1938, HFC has been the gateway to higher education for thousands of students who seek an affordable, high-quality post-secondary education. To learn more about what HFC has to offer, please visit us at www.hfcc.edu or you can call the campus office at 1-800-585-HFCC. Your future begins now, and it begins right here at Henry Ford College.
Hey, knucklehead, what are you doing?
Just
throwing away this old WHFR loyal listener guy?
Well, make sure you recycle it, lame brain.
I know.
Better yet, why not save a tree and sign up for the WHFR e-newsletter instead?
WHFR has an electronic newsletter?
Yeah, you just need to go to their website, pay attention when I'm talking to you, WHFR.FM, and hit the sign-up link. It has all the same bells and whistles of the paper newsletter.
Really?
Yeah, it's the most up-to-date WHFR info sent right to your email box. You got one of those, don't you?
Yeah, I got three of them.
You wise guy. Think about it.
Yeah. No more running up to the record store to get my copy and saving me on gas, too. Info sent right to my email box. That makes me very happy.
Well, okay, Mr. Happy. Let's go to WHFR.FM right now and sign you up.
Yeah, let's go do it.
It's informative, quicker, and easier on the environment. It's the WHFR electronic newsletter. Visit our website, WHFR.FM, and sign up today.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn. Listener-supported, non-commercial radio.
Guys and dolls, you were at the malt shop with Daddy G here in WHFR, and we are going back to the 50s and the 60s. So hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror, grab your favorite squeeze, and head on down to the malt shop, where the jukebox is playing, the kids are dancing, and here we are, back in the 50s.
I'm gonna try to make you love me too.